City, the Columbia Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States Army and United States Air Force Recruiting Service, presents the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 2, entitled, Jane Complains Because Mr. Ace Forgot to Send Her Flowers on Their 15th and a Half Wedding Anniversary, and Mr. Ace says he didn't think the halves were important, and Jane says they are in football, which leads to quite a scrimmage, and Mr. Ace winds up on his own end zone. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
Michigan 49, ACE nothing. You won't believe the trouble a man can get into sending his own wife flowers. I'll tell you about it in just a minute.
You know, America's young men are the biggest, healthiest, best-educated young men in the world. Even so, the standards of today's regular Army and United States Air Force are so high that only 60% of these fine men can be accepted when they volunteer. Doesn't that give you a pretty good idea of the type of men that make up today's Army and Air Force? Well, if you need more proof, take a good, long look at the next soldier you see. Neat, clean-cut, resolute. Yes, you can put this in your pipe and smoke it. He's helping to do the most important job there is in America today. And now, Mr. Ace, you were just about to say...
Well, first I want to say I'd like to dedicate this story to all the husbands who will someday marry Jane. Because the way things have been going in our marriage, I don't give it much more than another, 20 or 30 years. After 15 years of marriage, Jane still clings to the romantic and medieval idea that I should send her candy every day like I used to before we were married.
I still cling to the romantic and mediocre idea that he should send me candy like he used to. I still eat.
She thinks I should write her cute little notes like I used to.
I think he should write me cute little notes like he used to. I still read.
She thinks I should send her flowers every day.
I still smell.
But I should warn any future husband of Jane's that he also gets the custody of my brother-in-law, Jane's brother, Paul. I don't know exactly how to describe Paul. He's a sight. And his wife's a sight. In fact, they're a parasite. And I've got the canceled check to prove it. Paul hasn't worked in a long time, but he expects to go to work any year now. He's been waiting around for the right kind of a job to come along.
I've been waiting around for the right kind of a job to come along.
He's very particular.
I'm very particular.
Let's face it, he's a bum.
I'm very particular.
Well, let's get on with the story. The other morning, Jane and I were having breakfast before I left for the office when who should drop in but Paul. I don't mean to sound surprised because Paul does this every morning. You see, he lives up on 141st Street. We live on 76th Street. And every morning, he starts out to have breakfast in a drugstore on 47th Street. But to get there, he has to pass through our kitchen. It's a shortcut. It saves him, about 65 cents.
Good morning, sis.
Why, Paul, of all people.
Oh, fine.
I was on my way down to the drugstore, and I thought I'd just...
Look, Paul, you have to go through that same routine every morning. Just sit down and eat.
Thanks.
I'm just leaving. I'll see you later, Jane. I'll call you.
Is that all you've got to say to me? See you later, I'll call you.
What do you mean?
Is that all you've got to say to me today?
Today? What's today?
What's today? How do you like that, Paul? The acting professor.
Make it a double orange juice, will you, Jane?
Look, Jane, if there's something on your mind, speak your piece. I'm late as it is. What is she talking about? Do you know, Paul?
Jane, the toast is burning.
Yes, and I'm not very good at smoke signals, Jane. If you don't want to tell me what's on your mind, I'm going. So long. Be good, Jane.
Oh, sure. Be good. Be good.
Well, I hope you're satisfied. You gave me something to worry about all day.
Don't worry. Forget it. How do you like that? He forgot all about it.
What is it, Seth's birthday or something?
No, it's our 15th and a half wedding anniversary.
15th and a half wedding anniversary. He forgot all about it, huh? Some hot coffee, Jane.
Okay, Paul.
Well, I told you, Seth. I told you'd have trouble before you married him.
Oh, I didn't have trouble before I married him. We used to have such fun then. So fool-faced and fancy-free.
Can I have some of those eggs, Jane?
Help yourself, Paul.
Oh, thanks.
How long was I saying? Oh, yes. He never used to forget anniversaries before we were married. Always sent me flowers or some little pimento.
Well, pass the cream cheese, Jane.
Here you are.
Thanks. Well, Jane, you must remember you had a chance to marry George Davis.
George Davis. Remember him? Wasn't he cute? He used to send me flowers all the time.
His father owned the greenhouse, didn't he?
Well, wholesale or retail, the thought was there.
Well, sis, what can you expect from a guy who's always got his mind on business? He's not the flower type. If he ever starts sending you flowers, then you got something to worry about.
What do you mean, Paul?
Well, he's the kind of guy, if he ever sent you flowers, it'd mean he's been running around with some other woman. He's covering it up.
What?
Now, sis, you mind if I make a suggestion?
Oh, sure. I want you to be suggestive.
Well, don't worry about him not sending you flowers. If he does send them, then you'll know he's up to something. Think of it like that. Some more coffee.
Yeah, I never thought flowers could mean all those terrible things. Why, that awful George Davis. Am I glad I didn't marry him?
Well, that's the kind of an old lady my brother-in-law Paul is behind my back. Why doesn't he go have breakfast with Brenneman? While Paul was egging Jane on, and she was egging him at $1 a dozen, I arrived at my office still wondering what Jane had been talking about. I was trying to think what day this could possibly be, and my secretary, Miss Anderson, was of little help. Oh, I ought to tell you about Miss Anderson. She's a cousin of Jane's, from the unemployed branch of the family. Jane made me hire her and won't let me fire her. Miss Anderson may not be very quick or very bright, but I must admit she is inefficient. She's not a very good typist.
A very good typist.
She's not a whiz at dictation.
A whiz at dictation.
And if she ever did anything right around the office, I'd drop dead.
Drop dead?
I made the mistake of asking Miss Anderson a simple question. Miss Anderson, do you happen to know what day this is?
Payday. I've got my check.
No, I didn't mean that.
Well, what?
I wonder what Jane had on her mind. Well, anyhow, to play safe. Miss Anderson, I want you to order some flowers from the florist downstairs and send them out to Jane.
Flowers? What's the matter? She's sick?
Sick? No, she's not. Can't a man send his own wife flowers without her being sick?
Some men can.
Look, Miss Anderson.
I know it can't be her birthday because she just had one 2 months ago.
Oh, now that's clever. Did you figure that out yourself?
Ignoring that sarcasm, I'll ask one more question. Is it an anniversary?
No, our anniversary is in August. I don't know what day it is. I know it can't be her birthday because she just had one 2 months ago.
Oh, that's clever. Did you figure that out?
Miss Anderson, please. Will you do as I ask you? Just call the florist and have him send out a dozen, roses, I suppose, and I'll write a little note here to go along. Now, let me see. What shall I write?
Is she sick?
No, I told you she isn't sick. Now, let me write this. Let me see. Dear Jane, I hope you're feeling better. What am I writing here? Well, it's my own funeral. I can send flowers to it if I want to. Of course, I had a lot of help from my brother-in-law, Paul the Bearer. Paul was having his 8th cup of coffee just before the flowers arrived. He used to drink a lot more coffee, but he found it kept him awake all afternoon.
Well, Jane, as soon as I finish this, I'll have to get downtown. They're starting excavating for a new building down on 45th Street. I'd better get down there or I'll lose my place at the peephole.
You know, Paul, you're right. About
what?
Flowers, I mean. As long as he doesn't send me flowers, I have nothing to worry about.
That's the ticket, Jane.
Yes, I feel much better now. No flowers. It isn't every woman who can say her husband never sends her flowers. Oh, somebody at the door. Just a minute. Excuse me, Paul.
What time is it, Jane?
Well, the clock in the kitchen says 9:45. The one here says 11:05. So you can imagine what time it really is.
Mrs. Jane Ace?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Ace.
Sign here, please.
Sign what? I don't sign just anything that comes along.
It's for a package.
Oh, a package.
Sign this line here.
Okay. There you are.
Thank you. Oh, what is it, Jane?
A boy. He brought me a package. I wonder what this can be. Oh, look. Flowers.
Flowers?
Imagine George Davis remembering me after all these years.
George Davis? Are they from George?
Well, who else? What's that? Oh, my. Look at this note.
What's it say?
Roses are red, violets are blue. Whatever we're celebrating is up to you.
Uh-oh, sis. That's from your husband.
Oh, how could he do this to me after all these years and 6 months? Why, that wolf's in the grass.
All this, of course, I didn't find out till later. I was going merrily about my work as if I had good sense. Oh, I work in the advertising offices of Sutton, Dutton, Mutton, and Norris. Sutton, Dutton, and Mutton were away on business on the West Coast. Mr. Norris doesn't go to the West Coast because it's 3 hours earlier out there, and he doesn't like to get his 5 o'clock shadow at 2 p.m. It's a little joke we have around the office. We like it. Mr. Norris doesn't say much, but when he does, it's usually a proverb.
A stitch in time saves nothing.
The other day I took too long for lunch.
Time is money.
And whenever I asked him for a raise...
Money is the root of all evil.
Mr. Norris had sent for me to come to his office. Something about a new advertising account we were starting.
Oh, come in, Mr. H. Come in.
I'm sorry I was detained. I had to send some flowers.
That's quite all right. Better late than never, I always say.
Yeah.
Miss Gleason, this is our Mr. H.
How do you do, Mr. H?
Oh, I'm glad to know you, Miss.
Miss Gleason has just bought out the Athens Candy Company from the Dimitropoulos brothers, and she's giving us her advertising account.
Yes, I know, but I hadn't expected so, well, I mean...
Yes, I see what you mean. Miss Gleason, if your candy is as good as you look, it's in the bag.
Yes.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Oh, I brought you each a big box of candy.
Oh,
well, thank you, Miss Gleason. I hardly know what to say.
How about beware of Greeks bearing gifts?
Yes, beware of Greeks bearing gifts, I always say. Or do I?
Well, it doesn't matter. What I'm interested in most is a name for the candy. I'm expecting you to come up with an attractive new name for this new candy.
Well, I'll try.
Rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet, I always say. But that's your department, Mr. H.
Yes, it is.
Now, suppose you take our new client down to your office and put everything else aside and concentrate on Miss Gleason.
You mean on the candy, of course.
strictly the candy.
Yes.
Well, procrastination is the thief of time, I always say. Get going now. Miss Gleason, if you'll go along with Mr. H.
Yes, come with me, Miss Gleason, and see if I can think up a good name for this candy.
I'm depending on you, Mr. A.
Oh, Mr. H., don't forget your box of candy that Miss Gleason brought you.
Oh, yes. I mustn't forget that. I'll send this right out to the house to Mrs. H. We're celebrating something today. I don't know what.
Something? What do you mean you're celebrating something?
I don't know, but today is supposed to be something.
Happy something. Happy something.
Well, how high can a man hang himself? Oh, I know what you're thinking. You can see right through this whole plot. Now you tell me. Where were you while I was getting fitted for this size 15 and a half tooth? Why didn't you stop me? Well, let's get on over to the house and wait for the candy to come. Before we get there, though, I ought to tell you that Paul has gone down to his peephole, and a new character had crept into the scene. Our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts. He's a radio announcer. You've probably heard him on the air.
This program is brought to you by the Pipstick Company, makers of that famous after-dinner motor oil.
He's full of statistics.
Scientists have proved that 4 out of 5 is 80%.
I don't know why they give him a microphone. You can hear him out of an open window.
That's the Pepsi Company. For over 50 years, dispensers of quality. Yes, 50 years ago, the Pepsi Company dispensed with quality.
Ken's biggest fan is Jane, and every time Ken drops in at the house, which is about once a day, Jane has a cheery word for him.
Oh, Ken, I'm in such trouble.
Well, what's the matter, Jane?
Not much there isn't. Look at this. Flowers from my own husband.
Gee, they're pretty. What are you celebrating, Jane?
We're celebrating his running around with another woman.
Oh, that's not a... What? But, Jane, not just because he sent you flowers. I mean, if he started sending you a lot of gifts for no reason at all, well, I wouldn't blame you for being suspicious. It's like that daytime serial I announce every morning, where the nurse is in love with the doctor who's married to a lady psychiatrist. It's the true story of love and heartbreak in a hospital. Haven't you heard it, Jane?
What's the name of it?
Johns of the Hopkins. You see, this nurse, Sheila, is in love with Dr. Johnson. And Mrs. Johnson, the lady psychiatrist, keeps getting gifts from her husband. He has a guilty conscience. Why, this morning he sent his wife a mink coat.
A mink coat?
Yeah.
Well, as long as she's going to be out in the cold, she might as well be warm. Oh, excuse me, Ken. Somebody at the door.
Oh, Jane, I wanted you to hear me practice my commercial I'm doing on a show today.
I will, Ken, in just a minute.
Mrs. A?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Another package?
That's right. Sign here.
Ken?
Yes, Jane?
Oh, another package for me.
Oh, what is it, Jane?
Look, candy from my husband.
Gee, Jane, I wonder what that means.
It means I'll be getting a mink coat next. What a terrible thing to happen to any woman.
Oh, Jane, cheer up. It probably isn't as bad as it seems.
But Ken, candy.
Well, ask him about it when he comes home. And just to get your mind off it, I'll read this commercial to you. See if you don't think this is important. Today, the United States Army has a great new technical school plan. Learn what it means to you men who are about to be graduated from high school. In brief, it's this. Under the new Army Technical School plan, you can learn a valuable skill and be paid well while you're learning it.
Maybe I ought to join the Army.
And when you finish your training, you're qualified for a good specialist job in the United States Army or in civilian life later on.
No, husband. I'm practically a civilian.
Furthermore, you can choose your specialty from many interesting, important fields and have your pick of over 60 different courses in those fields. Chances are that one of them is just what you're looking for.
I wonder if they have a Foreign Legion branch.
And listen to this. You can select your own course before you enlist. Just make out your application blank at your nearest recruiting office. Then, when your application is approved, you can enlist with the positive assurance that you'll get the course you want. Talk the whole thing over at your nearest recruiting office right away.
You know, Ken, I've got half a mind.
Well, needless to say, they turned Jane down at the recruiting office. Couldn't meet the high school requirements. She had gotten F in mathematics, F in history, F in English, and F in languages. Four F's. But from here on out, things began to happen to me so fast that, well, you'll just have to sort it out the best you can. All I know is I was in my office talking to Miss Gleason about the candy. Hey, Miss Gleason, I think I've got a name for the candy. Sweetheart candy.
Yes, that sounds fine. Sweetheart candy.
Do you like it?
Oh, yes, I
think I'll just go up and try it out on Mr. Norris. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Excuse me. Make yourself at home. Their magazines and cigarettes are all there.
Oh, I like that name. Sweetheart.
Yeah, that's it. Sweetheart. Sweetheart, gee, that's swell.
Are you calling me sweetheart?
What? Oh, no, Miss Anderson, I was talking to Miss Gleason in my office.
Miss Gleason? We'll get him.
Miss Anderson, I'm going up to see Mr. Norris. I'll be right back. Miss Gleason is waiting for me in my office. Gee, sweetheart, isn't that wonderful?
Well, get a load of C. Aubrey Smith. Oh, just wait till I tell Jane about this. Hello?
Hello, Sally.
Oh, hello, Jane. I was just thinking of you.
This is Jane.
Am I glad you called?
Just fine. This is Sally. I'm calling from a phone booth downstairs in the lobby. I want to ask you something. Have you noticed anything unusual going on around the office lately?
Have I?
What's your name?
I think it's Miss Gleason. She's in his office now, and I just heard him call her sweetheart.
Sweetheart? Oh, no.
You poor, poor woman.
What does she look like? How's she dressed?
Oh, she's stunning. She's wearing a black dress with a V neckline. A capital V, if you know what I mean.
Oh, this is worse than I thought. You know, it's just just like that radio program Ken Robertson's telling you about.
What did you say?
Sheila, the nurse, and Dr. Johnson, and Mrs. Johnson, the lady doctor in the balcony, and Mink Coates. Sally, you hold her there for me. I'll be there in a jiffy.
Okay, Jane, I'll go right in. Oh, that poor, poor woman. Well, are you quite comfortable, sweetheart? I mean, Miss Gleason?
Oh, yes, quite, thank you. Mr. Ace left me this magazine and some cigarettes.
He's very thoughtful, isn't he?
Yes, I suppose. For a married man, I mean.
What's being married got to do with being thoughtful?
Yes, but the question is, to whom is he thoughtful to?
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come now, Miss Gleason. You'll never get on Information Please that way.
Young lady, what are you driving at?
Sally.
Oh, hello, Jane. Come on in. Here she is. Miss Gleason, may I present this poor, poor woman who happens to be the wife in the case, Mrs. A.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. A?
Hello, Sheila.
What?
Sweetheart, huh?
Yes, that's the name your husband thought of. Did he tell you, Mrs. A?
Did he tell her?
Listen, Sheila, don't you know it's always the wife that's the last one to find out?
Will you stop calling me Sheila?
Sally, where's Dr. Johnson?
Oh, he went up to see me. Who?
My husband.
Wait a minute. What are you shouting about, Mrs. A?
I can shout if I want to. I suppose it's all over the hospital by now.
What are you saying?
I'm talking about you and my husband, you Florence Nightingale.
Me and your husband? Are you insinuating? Oh, I'm getting out of here.
Oh, no, you're not. Not until you promise not to see this poor, poor woman's husband again.
I most certainly do promise that. I'll never see him again or anybody else connected with his firm. And you can tell him for me he can tear up his contract. Goodbye.
How do you like that? They even make contracts for things like that nowadays.
Well, how do you like him? He sure can pick 'em, can't he?
You think she is? I don't. Oh, I'll admit she's attractive in a silver fox sort of way, but take away that fur coat and what have you got? Just a capital V.
Well, sweetheart, it is. Mr. Nora said Jane.
Yes, sweetheart. What were you saying?
Where's Miss Gleason?
I got your flowers and candy, Doctor.
Miss Anderson, where did Miss Gleason go?
Mr. Ace, I should think you wouldn't mention that woman's name in front of this poor, poor woman who happens to be my cousin, and in case you've forgotten, your wife as well.
What are you talking? Look, Jane, I don't know what you're doing here, but I've got a very busy day ahead of me with Miss Gleason and this candy she makes. Sweetheart candy, we're going to call it. I thought up a name for it, and Mr. Norris okayed it.
Candy?
Yeah.
You mean you call the candy, sweetheart?
Well, I guess I'll be going to lunch until things blow up.
Miss Anderson, answer me. Where did Miss Gleason go?
Dear, I'm afraid there's been a case of misshapen identity here.
Miss Anderson, tell me where Miss Gleason is.
She went home, and she said you can tear up that contract.
Tear up the Oh, no. Jane, what did you do?
What did I do? You're the one who did it. Paul told me if you send flowers, it means you're running around with another woman.
Paul, I should have known he'd be in here someplace. Jane, why do you do these things?
Why do I do them? Listen, dear, if you hadn't sent me the flowers in the first place and the candy in the second place, this would never have happened in the third place. You can promise me that.
I can promise you that.
Well, okay, see that you keep that promise.
See that I keep it? What are you talking about?
Now I gotta call up Paul and explain the whole thing to him.
I'll take care of Paul later. Miss Anderson, look up Miss Gleason's address and send her a bunch of flowers, and I'll enclose a note of apology. Maybe I can save the account yet. Order the flowers right away.
Yes. Well, that's better. You can send other women all the flowers you want to, but don't send them to your own wife and upset me the way you did.
Isn't that awful? Well, Miss Gleason got the flowers, we got the account back, and the florist got the idea I was entering a float in a parade of roses. There was only one thorn left to take care of, and I went all the way up to 141st Street that same afternoon to see him. He was resting. Had a hard day at the peephole. I started right in. Look here, Paul. There's something I've got to take up with you.
Okay, brother. Shoot.
Don't think I wouldn't like to. What's the idea of getting Jane all steamed up about those flowers I sent her? Haven't you anything else to... Oh, I take that back. Of course you haven't.
I was just trying to square you, that's all.
Look, square, you nearly ruined me. Will you do me a favor? Stay away from Jane. Now, all I want...
Excuse me, the telephone.
Telephone, sure. Probably your office calling. They're having trouble with the steam shovel.
Hello?
Hello, is that you, Paul?
Oh, hello, Jane.
Yes, bye.
Jane, what does she want?
Paul, I just had to call you up and tell you how wrong you were about those flowers. They don't mean a thing.
No?
What is she saying?
I came down to his office. I'm there now. We're having a nice, long little talk. And he said there was never any other girl but me. He's head over tails in love with me, aren't you, dear? He says yes.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, sis. You're not talking to him now, are you?
He won't let me off his lap. Dear, stop it. He's tickling me.
Give me that phone, Paul.
Here, take it.
He's so jealous, Paul. He wants to know who I'm talking to. It's Paul, dear.
Oh, it's Paul, is it, Jane?
Yes, you don't have to be jealous of Paul, dear.
I don't have to be, huh?
No, after all, he is my... Hey, wait a minute. Who is this?
It's I, Jane. Well?
Gee, it was sweet of you to call me, dear. I know how busy you are at the office.
Well, I had a few minutes to spare, and I called... Oh, Jane, you kill me.
All right.
So long, Jane.
Oh, wait a minute, dear. Let me tell you about something I did that you're going to be proud of me when Miss Gleason gets it.
When Miss... What did you do, I'm afraid to ask?
Oh, don't be afraid, dear. I know what I'm doing.
When did that start?
I wasn't born for nothing, you know.
There are two schools of thought on that. What did you do, Jane?
Well, when I got home, I sent Miss Gleason a little gift so she wouldn't be mad. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, that was very nice.
I knew you would.
Yes, I do. What kind of a gift did you send her, Jane?
Well, I didn't have time to go out shopping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that box of candy you sent me?
Oh, no, you didn't send her the candy that she manufactured.
Oh, well, I know it wasn't much, dear. But I enclosed a cute little note like you did to me.
Note?
It said, roses are red, violets are blue. This candy isn't very good, but it's what I think of you.
Well, here I go again. Flowers for Miss Gleason.
In just a moment, I'll tell you the title of next week's Chapter 3 of the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Remember this, young men. There's no finer career than an Army Air Force career. It offers you a continuing education, the chance to learn a valuable technical skill, the opportunity to see the world, which is a broad education in itself. Now, let's look at the practical side, too. Army and Air Force pay, with its extra benefits and allowances, is better than average civilian pay. On top of that, there's retirement pay that leaves you sitting pretty all your life. Drop in at the United States Army and United States Air Force recruiting station nearest you and get the rest of this important story. You'll be mighty glad you did. Next week, Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 3 entitled... Mr. Ace tells Jane he's bringing a client home to dinner and warns Jane to be careful of what she says, and Jane replies, "Don't worry, I've got more brains in my little finger than I have in my head." And during dinner, she proves it. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
how to grow old gracefully in 1 hour. Good night.
Me too.
For Mr. Ace and Jane was written by Goodman A. Original music written and conducted by Morris Certain. In the supporting cast were Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Gertrude Warner as Miss Gleason, Florence Robinson as the secretary, Eric Dressler as Mr. Norris, Michael Abbott as the delivery boy, And this is Ken Roberts reminding you to tune in Chapter 3 next week at this same time over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.